Lord, we thank you for the cost of that salvation. The gift that we now can receive, paid in full. And we are free. We are free from the curse of sin and the chains that used to bound us and hold us captive. By your amazing grace, we have been set free, paid for by the precious blood of Christ. We thank you, Lord. Praise you. And all God's people said, amen. Let's sing. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, team. Team Jesus, we are here to learn about being disciples. Last week we talked about what a disciple is not. I showed you a lot of crazy stuff going on inside of churches and Christianity, and I just hit the tip of the iceberg. I got a video for you next week. It's crazy. Almost put it in this week, but didn't fit, but it's going to fit in next week. Just the deception is going to a new level, a level the world has never seen before. And that's why it's so important for us to be disciples. But I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. So today, last week we looked at what a disciple is not. Today we're going to look at what a disciple it is. I'm going to keep it short, sweet, and simple. All right? And we should be out right on time. You know what's so great about being a disciple of Jesus Christ? You know what's so great about Christianity, biblical Christianity? But one, it's not about a religion. A religion is a set of rules to impress some god or higher being, make yourself acceptable to that god. That's what religion is. Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship. God opens up a relationship. He does the work. Christ does the work and makes the way for us to come into relationship with God. Not based on what we are, who we are, and what we've done, but what He did. And what's so amazing about Christ, about Jesus, is that He goes across cultures. You know, in some religions, you have to change who you are as a culture. You got to live as if you're from another culture. You got to change almost everything about your identity. But with Jesus, you don't have to do that. He goes across cultures. It doesn't matter if you're Russian. It doesn't matter if you're Chinese, Korean, Persian, Arab, American, Brazilian. It doesn't matter. He fits in all. Do you realize as a disciple, you don't have to change your occupation? If you're a car dealership, you can bring Jesus into that dealership. If you're an engineer, wherever you're doing engineering projects, you bring Jesus into it. If you're an exterminator, you can exterminate bugs in the name of Jesus. And witness wherever you go. Your occupation doesn't have to change. Unless God does want to call you into the mission field or ministry, then it may change, but for the most part, no. You know, your interests, as long as the interests that you do, your hobbies are not against the Word of God, like sports. Sports is awesome, right? Love sports. Football, right? Best sport out there in the world. Agree? You can hit people for Jesus, right? You can. You can bring Jesus into the football, soccer. Chloe, I see you back there. You can bring Jesus to the soccer team. Cheerleading. Cheerleader up there. Kayla. Okay, let me ask you something. Are all the girls on your cheerleading squad believers? Nope, there's your mission field. Soccer team, mission field. You see, Jesus fits in us, no matter who you are. And everything that you do, He becomes part of. You take Him everywhere you go. And if you make every aspect of your life about Jesus, even though it might be football, you're going to hit people the best you possibly can. You're going to give your full effort in whatever you do because you represent Christ. And then when you do well, or even if you don't do well, you still show Christ. You give glory to Christ if you trust Him with those things you're doing, your job. If you trust Him, you want to honor Him through that job, He'll work. He'll move in you. No matter what you're doing, Christ fits. The disciple can take Christ into their families, friends. Now, some of your families may reject. Some friends may reject you. But wherever you are, whatever you do, you can take Jesus. Because that's what we're called to do as disciples. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If we're going to, as we rebuild this church, as we rebuild, the foundation is right here before me. This is the foundation. We are. And as the church is being rebuilt, we have to be the foundation. Christ is the cornerstone and the truth. That's the solid foundation. But we are being built upon that. And we must be strong. We must be solid disciples of Jesus Christ. If we're going to be what God has called us to be, we can't be like most churches. And I don't say that in an arrogant way or a condescending way or a mean way. But if we're going to be a church for these days, a real church that's going to get the Great Commission done, we all have to become solid disciples. United. The people of Reading need us to be solid disciples. Why is there such a great need for true disciples of Jesus Christ in the world? Because Satan has done a masterful job of muddying the waters of truth. There is no more truth, is there? People say, you can't know truth. Oh, no one has the truth. Truth is relative. There's no longer black and white. There's just gray in the world, right? That's all Satan's doing. Because he doesn't want people to find the truth. Meaning Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But we know him. By God's grace, we know him. And we need to be out there because, let me show you just two things that have really hindered the truth from going out into the world. First is cults. Cults. Go to the next slide. Levi, these are all the cult leaders. These are just some of the people, cult leaders, who have either claimed in the past to be the second coming of Christ or today claim to be the second coming of Christ. Go Google it. You'll be amazed how many of them there are. And some of them, like Jim Jones down there on the bottom and Heaven's Gate, I forget that guy, the crazy-looking dude over here. And then the sinful Messiah, David Koresh in Waco, Texas. You see, cults... God has used cults, even though they're people, you know, seem crazy. But what he's gotten to do in society is that cults talk about the end of the world. And then the cults turn out to be crazy, commit mass suicide, go out in a blaze of glory and crazy people, right? Well, people associate with talk of the end of the world with cults. Well, what's at the end of the Bible? The book of Revelation. So an honest pastors try to teach the true word of God, you have to talk about the end times. And for some in society, that just, oh, must be a cult, must be crazy. Satan's muddied the water. So people can't understand the difference between a cult and biblical Christianity. And if they can tell the difference between cult and biblical Christianity, then Satan has done the next thing. It's false teachers. We kind of hit on this last week. Go to the next slide. There's more false teachers today than you can shake a stick at. Prosperity gospel, lying signs and wonders, false gospels, false churches, great deception inside the church and outside the church today. Listen to John MacArthur. Go ahead.
How can a deceived person know he's deceived? How can we spot someone who is deceived and deceiving? Let me give you a few suggestions. Here's what to look for. When you're looking for people who are deceived, look for people who are seeking feelings, blessings, experiences, healings, angels, whatever, that are only interested in the byproducts of the faith, not in Christ. They're not consumed with the glory and the honor and the wonder and the beauty and the magnificence of Christ. They're not consumed with honoring Him, loving Him, serving Him, obeying Him, submitting to Him, exalting Him, proclaiming Him, worshiping Him, confessing Him, They're only there for the byproducts of that which is attached to him. Give me blessing. Give me...
And he goes on and on. You've heard it. We mentioned some of this last week. How do you know a person is deceived and not following the true biblical Christianity or the true Jesus Christ? Because they're not really about Christ. They're about getting the blessing, the byproducts. And that's how they've been deceived, that God just wants to be our great-grandfather in the sky that just wants to bless us and give us his inheritance and make us healthy, wealthy, and wise. Life is all about us. But that's not what the disciples taught. Definitely not what Jesus taught. Definitely not what the disciples taught and demonstrated with their lives. Neither did Jesus. That being the church and being a disciple was not that. So what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Not deceived as many are in the world today, but to understand. And it's very simple. God does not make it complicated. Didn't say it was easy. It's just not complicated. I got four things I want to point out to you today and we'll be done. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? First and foremost, you must be born again. And born again, you have a changed life. You know, this is not just praying a sinner's prayer and being baptized. The traditions of church. Traditions of church over the years, a couple centuries now, but definitely in the last 100 years, was to just get people to say a prayer. Just repeat this prayer. And then let us baptize you. And you're saved. God just wants you to say a prayer. It's a religious act. It's something you need to check off on your clipboard. Being born again is not just saying a sinner's prayer, some religious act of being baptized and confession. Jesus said very clearly in John chapter 3, being born again, person who wants to see the kingdom of God has to be born again. And it's a moment, it's the most defining moment of your life. There's nothing more important than this moment. There's no football, sport championship. There's no occupation. There's no college degree more important than your born again moment. Nothing. And if it's real, it changes everything. Peter described it this way. 1 Peter chapter 1. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Redeemed, given value. Humanity, we have no value in ourselves. Whose phone? Someone, stop their phone. Is up there? Oh, it's Mike. All right, Mike. I tried to ignore the first couple rings, but it just kept ringing. I'm not sure someone will take care of it. Where was I? Okay. Got sidetracked. We're redeemed. Given value. As humanity, we have no value. We're sinners. We're separated. We're going to live, we're going to die, and that's it. God redeems us. But we weren't redeemed with corruptible things, earthly things like silver or gold. You can't buy your worth with God from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Church tradition, say a prayer, just do these church things. You're not saved with those things. There's not some magical prayer in Scripture called the sinner's prayer that you need to repeat so that God will say, oh, you're good, and now get wet in front of everybody, and you're good. No, it has much more meaning, much more of a depth of understanding than just going through a couple of motions. You see, you're not saved by those things, though, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, realizing Jesus died for you. The cost of your salvation. The price tag. The precious blood of Christ. As a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Think about that. Don't have time to talk about that this morning, but think about that. But was manifest in these last times for you. Wow. Peter talking here in these last times. If the last times really begin here with the coming of Christ, how much further along are we in the last times? How close are we to the end of the last times? But you see, it starts. The disciple born again, they realize that a person died for them. And when you understand someone has laid their life out for you, if you take it serious, you really appreciate your own life, knowing that someone died for you, and not just died, but was tortured and crucified for you, it should really penetrate the heart of who you are. You realize what it cost Christ. Verse 21, who through him believed in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So you realize Jesus died for you, but you also realize he raised again, proving who he was. Meaning, he's no longer a dead man in the past. He is the risen Savior who is alive today. It's not about believing in a dead man 2,000 years ago. It's understanding what he did 2,000 years ago. But now it's a relationship in the present. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, being born again, in sincere love of the brethren. You see, before you come to Christ, you may go to church, but you just go to church because that's maybe what you do. Or, you know, you're being forced to go to church. So you sit in the back row. Right, Lisa? Joseph? Right? No, I'm just kidding, guys. Or upstairs. Yeah. You see, true born again changes everything. Changes how you see Christ, what he did for you. And you see different who you are in Christ and your fellow brothers and sisters. Because look at this. Since you've been purified in your souls and obeying the truth of the gospel through the Holy Spirit, to be born again in sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again. You see, being born again, we should have a love for the church. And I'm talking about the people. We should love being together and growing together, studying the Word together, serving together. But I've seen so many people in church who are miserable. Miserable in church. Don't want to hang out with believers. Because see, they're going through the traditions of their fathers. It's just tradition. So I'm doing the tradition. No, you're not saved by that. If you're truly born again, there'll be a love for the church because Christ gave his life for the church. And now that Spirit resides in you. So you should have a fervent love for his people. Having been born again, not of the corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. Now, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Born again, changed, new life. Everything about you is going to change. You're a new creation in Christ. That's the first thing that needs to be a disciple, what it means. It's not some religious thing. It's not some tradition. Your life has changed. You have changed. You understand Christ. You understand his church and you appreciate those things. Now, the next thing, knowledgeable in the truth. As a disciple, we are to be knowledgeable. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We understand who God is, who Jesus Christ is. We understand why He came, why He left, why He's coming back. We understand the glory of who God is. This is what we are to share with people. You are to become knowledgeable enough to sit down comfortable where you can tell people about the Trinity, about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You should be able to talk to them, God, about His glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for the weapons of our warfare, we are in a spiritual war. But we're not going to go out there with swords and guns and crazy stuff like that. No, the weapons of our warfare, how do we do war? Are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It's talking. It's telling people the truth. You, when someone says, well, you know, an atheist says, well, there is no God. Can you go, well, let me show you what the God says. Anything that exalts itself against, oh, God doesn't say, you know, you have to be saved. God doesn't say anything bad about that or whatever subject. Whatever tries to exalt itself or come against the truth of God, the disciples should be able to say, no, this is what God says. Not in a mean way, not in an angry way, but in love, but stand for the truth. You have to be knowledgeable of this. Bringing every thought captive into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The world will try to deceive us. The world is deceiving many. We are here to help people come out of deception. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 8, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Do you see what Paul says there? He's willing to lose everything so he could have the knowledge, simple knowledge of God. That's how important it was to him. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. When he says lost all things, he means it. Family, job, security, retirement, life. He lost it all. Didn't care. Because he had Jesus Christ, he had the knowledge of God. I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So the disciple must be knowledgeable in the truth and the ways of God. Third, obedient to follow Christ. Now that we know knowledge can just puff you up, but the knowledge is to humble us, and then we're to obey it. We're not just walking around like, oh, look how much I know. Now we're called to live it. Whatever knowledge we learn, we're called to live it. Matthew 16, verse 24, and Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Famous verse. And we're focusing on that verse this year. That's why we have that cross again and that sign Kevin made for us out there in the foyer to remind us of this. Life is no longer about us. We're servants. We're slaves. We're laborers in the field. We're good soldiers of Jesus Christ being sent out. It's no longer about us. It's about others and about Christ ultimately and us reaching other people. We're going to be obedient to that. Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son. Sanctification, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. The transformation of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to form in us the image of Jesus Christ, to form the mind and the heart, that we as his disciples will follow the way of the Master, and we will conduct ourselves as our Master. We will show love and grace, and we'll speak truth. So we've got to seek the sanctification. We've got to be obedient to that. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and ye shall be witnesses to me. God says to be my witnesses. Christ says you'll be my witnesses. We need to be witnesses. We can't hide our faith. We can't be shy out in the public arena. Your job, your occupation, your sports teams, your schools, you guys are called to be disciples, witnesses. In those places. Romans 12, verse 1. These are famous verses, and there's so much in them. I'm not going to unpack it. One thing I wanted to focus on was that one aspect there this morning. Do not be conformed to this world. You see, the trap, the temptation, just conform. Just agree with the world. You can have your private faith, but, you know, compromise with the truth of who God is, the truth of Jesus. Jesus is okay with this sinful lifestyle, okay with this one. Make a Jesus that the world likes. Just conform to that. Just don't resist it. No, we're to resist. We're to oppose anything that exalts itself against the truth of God. That's what we're called to do. All of us. We've got to stand for the truth. So we're to be obedient to follow Christ. Now the last one. Engaging a lost world. Let me show you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have come new. Now, all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. You see, that's what Christianity is. God the Father, we were separated. We did not have peace with God the Father. We were alienated from God the Father. We're children of wrath, children of Satan. We're sinners. We're separated from the glory of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're separated. But God didn't want us to stay separated because He created us and He loves us. So He sent His Son as the mediator, that He would die in our place and pay for sins, so that now He, Jesus, can say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door. We must come to that moment and step through that door, turning from our sins and putting our faith in Christ, and then we can be reconciled back to the Father. Reconciled means to be restored to friendly relations. We're no longer enemies of God. Me as friends. Reconciliation, to coexist in harmony. To be brought back. Now let me show you the rest of that verse. Verse 18, all things are of God who have reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to Him, the gospel, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. What does this say? If you have been reconciled to Christ, or reconciled to God the Father through Jesus Christ, you've been saved, you've been born again, then you have a ministry. Not just me, not just the elders or the deacons, not just the Bible study teachers, not just missionaries, not those that have been trained, gone to seminary or whatever. No, all of us, if you've been saved, if you understand what it means to be born again, and you have put your faith in Jesus Christ and you've truly been born again, your life has changed, the evidence is there. You have a deep love for the brethren. If you've been born again, then you have been tasked by God to be in the ministry of reconciliation of others to Him. You've been tasked to, committed to us, the Word. You're to speak how to be reconciled. We're tasked with this. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, since we have this ministry of reconciliation, this Word, because we have been reconciled, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We're ambassadors, folks, because we've been reconciled to God, and God has committed to us the ministry and word of reconciliation. And we are to plead as though God were pleading through us to the lost ones out there. Come to Christ. That's what disciples do. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? One, you're born again, the changed life. Don't let this escape you. A lot of people try to bypass this and fake this. I do not understand why. You can't fake being born again. You can fake being in church and you fake being a Christian. But let me tell you, the Bible tells us signs. And if you don't have those signs, you're not a believer. One of the signs we saw this morning, you love the brethren. If you don't love to be here, if you don't want to take part in what's going on here, you're just kind of going through the traditions because that's what you do, the Bible's warning you, you're not truly born again. And people don't want to hear that. People get angry. People say, don't question. But even Paul told the Corinthian church, test yourself to see if you're in the faith, unless, of course, you don't pass the test because Jesus Christ is not in you. If Jesus Christ is not in you, then you are not in Christ, which means you are on the outside, and one day you will hear, Lord, Lord, and you'll hear, depart from me, I never knew you. I don't want that for anybody. So make sure you're born again. It's an easy door, it's an easy step to bypass and not even realize it because of the traditions of your fathers. You're knowledgeable in the truth. Your desire to know the truth, and your desire to help people know the truth. You can talk to them. So many people don't. 95% of people in churches will never share the gospel. 95%. Will never share the gospel once in their life. Why? Well, there's a multiple reasons, but one of them, they just haven't taken the time to know it. But you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Are you going to fail at that? You've been given the ministry or the word of reconciliation. Are you not going to speak it? If you're not going to obey Christ in that way, then you're not really a follower, because that's the next thing. You're to be obedient to follow Christ. And finally, you're to engage a lost world. That's why we're going to have this study next week. Ah, I keep fitting that in, huh? Oh, yeah. Come on up, team. New joint study, how to engage. Please. Last slide, Levi. Please, I'm begging, pleading. Don't let religion deceive you. Don't let the traditions of churches deceive you. Listen to what the Word of God says. Make sure you're fulfilling that first requirement. You are a true born-again believer. Don't let that escape you, please. And if you don't know, that's okay. Come see me. Come talk to me. Be born again. Become knowledgeable. Become obedient. And engage. That's what we're to become. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we owe you everything. We owe you everything. Your death for us made it all possible. Your resurrection from the dead sealed it, confirmed it, and guaranteed it. And now, Lord, we are saved by grace and grace alone. We owe you everything. You loved us so much. And we should love you because you first loved us. Lord, I ask you to help us see, as believers who have been born again, who have been saved, who have the gift of eternal life, by your cost, you paying the cost, I ask you, Lord, to help us understand we owe you everything. And we should gladly want to serve you as disciples. And I ask you to help us to do that. We pray this in your name. Amen. Let's sing this last song real quick.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace
God's people said, amen. I love ran red. That's Team Jesus. Let us run onto the playing field, encouraged, motivated, excited to be His disciples. Given the ministry of reconciliation, a word of reconciliation, let us take the light out there to those who are lost. Let's be disciples this week. Through God's strength, you can do this. Each one of us can. You just got to start. Just got to start the path. God will guide you. God will equip you. God will strengthen you. All right, team. Let's break out of here on the count of three. One, two, three. Break! Early.